In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need to be taught what is good. Since the fall, we no longer know. Children quickly learn the words mine and no, and yet how slowly they learn the words I forgive you. How slowly adults learn those words. We don't know what is good, so Christ teaches us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness defines our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. It is how we are converted to the faith, how we are sustained in the faith, and also how we live in this faith. It's the very air that we breathe. Breathed out by the Son in the giving up of his Spirit on the cross, breathed on to his ministers so they might in turn breathe that same forgiving Spirit onto you. There is no life apart from it. And so we gather together once more to receive it, to breathe it in even as it has been breathed out, to eat together, to speak together, to sing together. You are far more than a group of individuals who just happen to attend the same congregation. You are a family united together by the forgiving blood of Christ. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. There's no need to pry into their lives, but neither are you independent from each other. You need each other. So let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more. For the devil is like a prowling lion, and a lion does not attack the whole herd, but he seeks to separate one from the herd, so he seeks to separate us, to physically separate us, so that we no longer gather together with the body of Christ. So don't let yourself be separated. And don't let others be separated either. Encourage one another, forgive and love one another, for we daily sin much. The good we want to do, we do not do. We wake up ready to carry out our vocations faithfully and lay our head down at night asking God to forgive us. Along the way, we have hurt others and ourselves. We may know of a few sins, and a few may even trouble us, but we are blissfully unaware of the vast majority of offenses we have committed against our God. Who can discern his errors? Who can know all that he has done wrong? God will not judge you based on what you know and recognize, but he will judge you based on what he sees, and he sees the heart. So if God gave us more time, if he lengthened our days, then we'd only have more time to sin. More time for complaining, more time for self-gratification, more time to do whatever I want to do. Think of those who ask God for a longer life, and it's usually so they can travel or go here or do this or see that. It is self-centered. Most of our sins are not blatant sins against God. They're not acts of defiance. Most come from laziness, daydreams, or a half-hearted effort. There are those that we defiantly know the word of God and yet we act contrary, but most simply come because we don't want to carry out our task, because it doesn't seem that enjoyable. All then come from a sinful, self-centered, pleasure-seeking heart. Others may not care, but again, they are not your judge, God is. We daily sin much. Which also means that our spouse and our children and our co-workers and our friends and our neighbors and even those who sit with us here also daily sin much. We're the worst, for we know God's righteous commands, and yet still we have fallen short. We're not hypocrites, as we may be accused of being, for we know we have not lived up to our standard or God's. We are at the same time a saint and a sinner. We are not lost and condemned. We are not ruled by our fallen flesh. and neither are we free from the lures of that flesh. So we live as sinners. We pray as sinners. We work as sinners. We eat and drink as sinners. Sinners washed in the blood of Christ. Sinners who have breathed the forgiving life that Christ has breathed out. And so does our spouse work and live as a sinner. And so does our children. And so do our friends. And so we expect to be sinned against at home. We expect to be offended at work. We expect to be offended even here amongst believers. We're not waiting for it to come, but neither are we surprised when it does come. For we live with sinners. The only thing worse than sinning against one another is refusing to forgive one another. We may feel resentful, angry, and justified, but we must live in the Word of God and not according to our own feelings. We have no right to be angry. We have no right to be angry against the penitent, for they breathe out the same forgiveness that you and I breathe. So don't simply write them off as weird or quirky, or someone that you don't need to be friends or take the time to get to know. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ with whom you will spend eternity. Yes, they have quirks. Yes, they have faults even. They have created, perhaps, a life through their own fault that is quite difficult and hard. But they still have faith in Christ. They still have received the forgiveness that you have received. So he is your brother and she is your sister. So this isn't about how you feel. It's not about how their offense or sin made you feel or hurt your reputation. It's not about you at all. It's about them. It's about your spouse who offended you, your child who made you upset. It's about others who have frustrated you. They need the very forgiveness that we have received. So let us gladly do good to those who sin against us. It is not the offender who needs to make it up to us before we speak a word of forgiveness, but it's the one who forgives who goes the extra mile. Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery, was appointed to be second in command of all of Egypt. And when his brothers came to him, not once but twice, he forgave them. And then he promised to take care of them. He went the extra mile. And the same is true of God. There is nothing we can do to earn that forgiveness. But God absolves, and then he gives you his very body and blood as a guarantee of that forgiveness. We are masks of God in this world, called to imitate our gracious Father. He does not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. So also should we forgive and forget. If we demand our rights, if we refuse to forgive, if we think that we are justified in writing that person off or ignoring them or withholding a grudge, then we will be the ones thrown in prison. So we need forgiveness for our half-hearted forgiving. Do you want to see the severity of your grudges? Do you want to really see how serious your anger is? Do you want to see the end result of your pride? You need only look at the cross. That man on that cross should be you. Those were your sins, not his. It was your guilt, not his. It was your punishment, not his. It was your darkness, your abandonment, your separation from all things that are good, from God who alone is good. And somehow we're going to try to convince ourselves that our sins are not that big of a deal, that we have a right to be angry, that we have a right to not fulfill our duty because someone has sinned against us in their vocation, that somehow it's not that big of a deal that we were lazy or negligent or we got drunk or we lied to our parents. Our debt is immense. Jesus did not suffer so horribly because those people were really bad. But he suffered because our sins are really that bad. Each drop was shed for us. But as you look at that cross, it's not you, it's him. It's not your spouse, it's him. It's not your friend, it's him. It's not any one of us who sits here, it's him. It can only be grace. Undeserved love that wins so deep of a forgiveness that it buries all your sins in his grave. One divine sacrifice for all, yet offered to you again and again and again in the forgiveness of sins, not because you have fixed your life, not because you have improved and gotten better, but because he loves. This forgiveness breathed out by him is the very air that we breathe in. Yes, by God's grace, we know he has forgiven us, but he has attached that word to a tangible person. Through the voice of his minister as he breathes out that forgiveness. No matter what was confessed, he forgives. No matter what you have done, he forgives. No matter what still troubles you, he has forgiven you. Quickly, immediately, because he loves. His blood covers every sin and restores us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, living and breathing the same forgiveness from the same risen Savior. So we need to be taught what is good. We don't know it in and of ourselves. So Christ teaches us. But more than that, he changes our hearts. He breathes out that forgiveness in our heart and creates in us a new heart, renews in us a right spirit, and gives us a heart that loves even as he loves. And so we pray from a genuine and sincere heart, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.